I used the period at Stanford to start to get interested in self. And so actually and wrote the Totalitarian Ego paper, but that got me started interested in the self. So I was sort of applying the self to everything. Yeah. After that, including memory, I wrote a chapter for a book that Gordon Bauer edited. And self has been important. It sort of dropped out for a while, but it came back very recently. I started using the IAT more for studies of identity associations of things with self. So yeah, self has, since the late 70s and I was at Stanford, self has been an important focus of my work.
Well, so you have that in mind. You had written this other paper. If I can move forward a little bit, you decided that you would take a sabbatical to work with Banaji, essentially, right? That's what it looks like.
But we had actually already started, and we had submitted a grant application to National Science Foundation, which was supporting us in starting in around 1992. This NSF grant led to the IAT. We wrote a proposal submitted in 1992, may have been funded starting 1993. This was NSF. And we had been working on this article that was not published in Psych Review until 1995. It was the one that had implicit social cognition in the title. So that was really the theme of the grant that we had started with NSF. The 1992 grant, we had already drafted this Psych Review paper, not published till 1995, but the last sentence of that paper refers to something to the effect of, what we really need is a method of measuring individual differences in the implicit social cognitive constructs that we've been describing in this paper. And we didn't have it. But the grant had some suggestions of methods, and there were four suggestions. The first two were a sort of a supraliminal priming and a subliminal priming method, and I was starting to do research on these in 93 or 94 at University of Washington.
Yeah,
I tried those out. Nothing. They didn't produce a useful individual difference measure. Mainly, they didn't produce a strong enough effects. And the third one was something that in the NSF proposal was called a mixed judgment task. It had the essence of the IAT and described it in a paragraph, was probably 200-250 words. And it was not until about 2 years after that proposal was written that I did the first experiment trying out that task. As a result of which, I never tried out the fourth method, because the third method, which was eventually became the IAT, worked so surprisingly well that I knew I just had to stick with it. And the flower insect was the first version of that. I was trying it with something that I knew, okay, if this method works, it should show that it's easier to associate flower with pleasant than insect with pleasant. And it was, I had been doing these priming experiments of cognitively oriented ones in which I was reporting priming effects on the order of 20, 30, 40 milliseconds, which were actually large for priming effects. And the effect in the IAT procedure was about 300 milliseconds. And so this was, you know, just plain shocking when it occurred. When I got that result, I started to tell Marzu about it at Yale and say, okay, maybe you want to start working on this too in your lab. And eventually, it didn't take too long for her to indeed start doing it. And that was when our collaboration went into a higher gear than it had been before. It had been functioning quite well in the early 90s when we got the NSF support, but we now had a method that it was clear was going to produce a whole bunch of interesting results.
You had that, and then it sounds like maybe Brian Nussick was the one who wanted to put it online to try something.
Yeah, so he came along very soon after Marzu got him involved, and he was this guy who came from a geek background. He was interested in computer science as an undergraduate. He saw the possibility of putting this online, and so we both said,